الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، remain firm until you meet your master. The Shaykh said, with the alternation of the night and the day and the arrival of a year after a year, it is incumbent on a human being to bring himself to account and see that which benefits his soul and that which harms it. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah narrated that Umar radiallahu anhu said, bring yourself to account before you are held accountable, and weigh yourselves before you are weighed. Verily, it is easier for you today to bring yourself to account before you are brought to account, and prepare yourself for the day, the day where you will be displayed before Allah Azza wa Jal, on the day where everyone will be brought forth and nothing will be hidden concerning their deeds. The Shaykh said, concerning what we have done as bad deeds and shortcomings, the day shall come where everything will be exposed. So prepare for every question and answer, and make sure that every answer is sound and correct. And whosoever is lagging behind, let him repent. And whoever is upon righteousness, let him increase. And upon you is being firm until you meet Allah. Prepare yourselves and hold yourselves to account before you meet your Lord without having changed or altered the deen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hasten to do good deed, because there will be fitan, trials and tribulations like dark chunks of the night. The person will wake up in the morning as a believer, and he will make it to the evening as a kafir. Or he will be in the evening as a kafir, and by the time it's the morning, or he will make it in the evening as a believer, by the time it's the morning, he will be a kafir. Meaning, a person will change his deen within a short span of time, within some hours between the morning and the evening. The Prophet ﷺ explained, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. He will sell his religion for a small portion of the worldly life. He will give up on Islam, he will give up on his commitment in return for some worldly benefit that he will gain. The Shaykh said, the meaning of this hadith is that we are encouraged to hasten to do good deeds before we become preoccupied at a time where the fitan will come so much and so many that it will be like the dark where people can no longer see the light. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to what extent the gravity of this fitan would be, that someone will be a believer in the morning, by the time it's evening he left Islam. And the most relevant example we can strike is abandonment of the salah. You know that according to a good number of the scholars, the one who doesn't do salah is no longer a Muslim. The one who doesn't pray five times a day is no longer a Muslim. Now, how often are people abandoning the salah? Sometimes when you're walking back from the masjid, you see some Muslims or so-called Muslims, he's sitting in his car. He sits in his car the whole time the salah is being done in the masjid. He doesn't join the salah. He's waiting for the coffee shop or whatever pizza place to open. He remains in the car the whole time for maybe 30-40 minutes and just for the store to open. And the masjid is just 2 minutes away. And you know, where do you begin? What kind of discussion can you have with this person? This is if he rolls down the window to speak to you. Usually he will just ignore you. Just mind your business. You know, he has his music on, cigarette lit. He doesn't have to speak to you. Fitan. This wasn't the case not that long ago. This could never be the case. Not that, you know, the Hayya would come in and everybody would be in the masjid. Now, things are starting to break apart. Wallahi al-musta'an. Now, the Sheikh said, today then, the thing which we truly need to have fiqh of, the true understanding which we need to acquire, is the understanding of how to remain firm on this deen. Not undermining any other science. But what we really need to become familiar with is what are the things we should do so we will not go astray, while many people are going astray right before our eyes. The Sheikh said, the reason why, because now the fitan are abundant. The mazamir of shayateen, music, in other words, have become loud and heard. The TV channels and the satellite dishes have overtaken and conquered most of the homes. And so what is the condition of the Muslims today? And how will you be able to face these trials and tribulations while they are all over surrounding you? So much so that it is just as the Prophet ﷺ described, it will come a time when the person who adheres to Islam is like someone who's holding to a burning coal. You know the fahm. You get the fahm, and when you burn it, it becomes jamr. And can you imagine someone standing here, like right now I'm standing before you with a burning coal in my hand? How would you how would my reaction be? I can't keep it in my hand. You'd be jumping around and there'd be a big fitna. There will come a time, and we're perhaps living part of it, I wouldn't say all of it, there's still more to come, when holding on to Islam is equivalent to someone holding on to a burning coal. Meaning it's going to be a very difficult task. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described. The Sheikh said, there's no doubt that every intelligent Muslim must understand then the means with which he can remain upon this religion. And this requires a lot of effort. Specifically when the people, now those who want to adhere to the deen, don't find that much support. In fact, not only you don't find support, you find criticism. That you become an extremist, a fundamentalist, and other names which they have invented to describe someone who adheres to the sunnah. You know, you become strange, as we know from the other narrations. So the Sheikh said, first and foremost, nothing which is needed to remain firm on the deen was left out, except that it was mentioned in the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, they are clear like the sun. No one can doubt them. They are clear, it's just a matter of recognizing and implementing. The first thing which we need to establish so we can remain firm on the deen at the times where people are leaving the deen is the Quranul Kareem. The noble Quran. Not holy Quran. There's no holy Quran. There's no holy Quran. Holy means muqaddas. And you find an ayah in the book of Allah or a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ where it was called Al-Quranul Muqaddas, you will never be able to do it. This is from the Christians. Holy Bible, we said we have holy Quran. But Allah described the Quran, Quranul Majid, Quranul Azim, Quranul Kareem. Never ever did he say Quranul Muqaddas. And holy means Muqaddas. Furthermore, in the Christian context and others, holy means of divine nature. That's why they have a Holy Ghost, which is one third of God, and a Holy Son, which is the Son of God. So using the term holy, like Holy Prophet, if you're speaking to a Christian who doesn't know Islam, he thinks as they think. Oh, Holy Prophet meaning Muslims worship Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because to them Holy Son is equal to God. So this term holy, we need to set it aside. There's no holy Ramadan, there's no holy Quran, there's no holy prophet. Noble prophet, glorious Quran, great Quran, noble Quran, and blessed month of Ramadan. Shahrun Mubarakun. That's what we have. We don't have Ramadan al-Muqaddas. So terminology for da'wah purposes, we have to be very technical. I know some may differ with me on this issue, like other du'as, you say, this is a big da'i man, he's on television all day. You just do khutbah translation. You know better than him? Say, akhi, the deen doesn't work like this. It's not about the one who gets on TV and the one who doesn't get on TV. This is a matter of deen and dalil. You give me a dalil from the, in the Arabic language, where Allah called the Quran Muqaddas, and I will say Holy Quran the same day. Until then, you can't give it that proper noun. As an adjective, Muqaddas as in it's from Allah. Divine revelation, no doubt. As an adjective, as a proper noun, a name, Holy Quran, no. Yes, as a adjective, it's holy, it's from Allah, it's the speech of Allah. But as a proper noun, no. And you know, there's a difference between nouns and adjectives. That's besides the point. Barakallahu feekum. Anywho, the Quran, the Shaykh said, it is the rope of Allah. The rope of Allah, the strong rope of Allah. It is the illuminating light. Whosoever holds on to it, Allah will protect him. And whosoever follows it, Allah will save him. Whosoever calls to it, then he has been guided to a straight path. And Allah Azza wa Jal has specifically mentioned that in the Quran, that among the reasons why the Quran was sent down is to make the believers firm. Allah said in Surah Al-Furqan, and those who disbelieved, they say, لولا نزل عليه القرآن جملة واحدة. Why doesn't this Quran come as a whole revelation, one entity, one piece? Why this gradual revelation? Allah said in refutation, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَدَكَ. Such we had made that so we can make your heart firm. Yani if it was all revealed at one point, the effect it will have on the Prophet ﷺ and the believers is not as strong as when it comes according to need. When the Muslims are facing a trouble, then the ayah comes to relieve them, as opposed to the whole thing altogether. Then Allah Azza wa Jal went on to say, وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ tartila, and it was done in a fashion. The delivery is, as you know, in tartil. It's not like the regular speech of the human beings. This is the distinction of the Quran. And they do not bring an example except that we refute it with the truth, وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا, and a better explanation. So every time the kuffar will bring a shubuha, a doubt, Allah will reveal an ayah gradually, not altogether, in order to answer them with better explanation. So that anytime they bring something, they will be refuted and the Quran remains superior over the period of 23 years, which is the time it took for the whole thing to be revealed. The Shaykh said the Quran used to be, or it should be, but nowadays we're not doing the job, means of keeping the Muslims firm. Because it grows iman in one's heart. And it purifies the soul and it connects it to Allah. This is why when the ayat come down, they are like cold and peace upon the heart, like the nar was upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So anytime there's a storm of fitna, the heart will find relaxation in the remembrance of Allah in the Quran. And because the Quran provides the Muslim with the correct vision and the correct understanding of this, of the circumstances and the environment in which he's in, similarly, he does not. The Quran is firm, as in you don't get confused in making rulings. It provides you with a system on which you can base your rulings. It's not haphazard. It's not just obnoxious, you know, rulings. Everything is in order. The Quran is in order. So the Shaykh said, this is why we can make a distinction now between the people who connect themselves to the Quran. Not only recitation and not only tajweed. Because this is the common fitna of the day. Hafiz, hafiz. Hafiz, hafiz. My son is a hafiz. MashaAllah, my son is a hafiz. My son is a hafiz. Ta'al ya Mr. Son. Come here, Habibi. What does it mean when Allah says, فَوَيْلُ الْمُصَلِّينَ?
I don't know.
What? Hafiz what? Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayk. Hadith al-Sahih. The Qur'an is an evidence for you, is a proof for you or against you. If we know the Qur'an and we don't act upon it, this is nothing to be happy about. This is very much like the Jews who used to know the recitation of the Torah, and they used to know, they memorized the Torah, but they will go against the teachings of the Torah. They didn't understand the message of the Torah. So we have to be very careful. Yes, alhamdulillah, we're not saying don't put your son in a tahfidh. Surely let him memorize the Quran. But we need to add the element of understanding and implementation. Without that, there's nothing special. And among the first people that the fire will be ignited with will be the hafiz, the qari. You all know the hadith. The shaheed, the one who had fulus, and the one who used to recite the Quran. Allah will bring him forth, and the hadith is a Muslim. Allah will bring him forth, remind him of his favors upon him. And he will admit to the favors. Then he will ask him about the Quran. What did you do with the Quran? He will say, "Oh Allah, I recited it. I recited it and I taught it to the people seeking your pleasure." Allah will say to him, "Kadhabt, you have lied. You recited the Quran so they can say you're a qari. And they said that you were a qari. And you taught it so they can say that you're a alim, you're knowledgeable, and they said you're knowledgeable." Then he will be dragged on his face to Jahannam. These are the first people that will enter Jahannam. Qari Fulan. But Qari Fulan is on one side, the qira'ah is on one side, and the implementation is on the other side. And we have to know that this is from the objectives of the disbelievers. They want to make our connection with the Quran simply recitation. They don't want understanding and implementation. We have to fight this. And we have to learn. Even if it requires sending your son to Medina University or Umm al-Qura University, whatever. Let them learn the deen. We don't need any more qurra and huffaz. We need people who understand the Quran. So when we have a problem, we can refer to him. Say, what did Allah say? He will quote the ayah from the book of Allah. We don't know it. The hafiz will know it. Because the whole book of Allah is before his face. But with knowledge, if he doesn't know what the ayat mean, it's of no value. So then, doing so, the Shaykh said, this is incumbent on the people of knowledge. Now let me just give you a quick good news. With my limited knowledge, by Allah's grace, I conduct a tafsir class in English every Friday, like today, 9:15 in the morning at Jeddah Da'wah Center in Hayy Salama. All of you are welcome to join. 9:15 till around 10:15, we go over the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah, Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman fi tafsir kalam al-Mannan. I read the text in Arabic with the commentary, then I translate it word for word to English with some elaboration when necessary. So we can actually know what the Quran is teaching. We are currently in Surah Al-Imran, ayah 174. This is the one we were doing this morning, or we did from 170 to 174. Anyways, if anyone's interested in joining, there's no fees, no registration, no one will ask you anything. Just come. And when you finish, go. It's as simple as that. The second means to remain firm upon this deen is holding on to the law, the legislation, the teachings of Islam, and maintaining righteous deeds. Whosoever does not hold on tightly to the deen of Allah, Allah will not give him that firmness which he is looking for. Listen to the statement of Allah. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will keep firm those who believe with the statement of firmness in this life and in the life to come. So those who believe, Allah will give him firmness. Qatada, as the Shaykh commented, he said the tafsir of the ayah is as follows. That Allah Azza wa Jal will allow them to do righteous deeds and remain firm upon the truth in the dunya is now. And the akhirah is in the barzakh. And I was hoping the Shaykh would add that this is when Munkar and Nakir will make someone sit up in the grave and they will ask him, مَنْ رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ وَمَا تَقُولُ فِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Where Allah will make the believer firm. And he will say, Rabbi Allah, Deen al-Islam, Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiya wa Rasooli. Whereas the one who wasn't firm on the deen, as it comes in the Sahih Hadith, he will say, he will have no answer. Even though he knows today, but he doesn't act upon it, he will not be given the thabat in the grave. And when he doesn't give the right answer, as it comes in one of the narrations, he will be struck with an iron hammer. So heavy that the hadith says if all of the inhabitants of Mina came together to carry this hammer, they will not be able to carry it. He will be slammed with it. Everything will hear him except human and jinn. The one who doesn't give the right answer in the grave. Who does Allah Azza wa Jal give that firmness to? Those who believe. Now the ayah continues, وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ. ويفعل الله ما يشاء. And Allah will lead the oppressors and the wrongdoers astray, and Allah does what He wills. So we're one of the two. Either we are upon iman and righteousness, so Allah will keep us firm, or we are zalimeen, and Allah will deliberately mislead us because of our choices in this life. So we need to be very careful about what we choose now, because we will see the consequences of that as soon as one of us is in his grave. And that's not too far from now. Furthermore, Allah says, and had they done that which they were commanded, that which they were admonished to do, it would have been better for them, وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا, and more means of remaining firm. Yani if every time we heard the reminder, if every time we heard the Quran and the Sunnah, we acted upon it, that would have been better for us and more means to remain firm. But if every time we hear the reminder, as we do it week after week, it comes from this ear and right out of this one, then it's not going to happen. This is not better for us, and it is not means of remaining firm. Eventually, as Allah said, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. It will reach a point where our hearts will be covered with layers, and because of that, whatever we earned, we will no longer hear the maw'idah. We hear, but we don't act. And one wonders, how come I hear every week and I don't change? Because we have already created veils on our hearts because of our negligence, our oppression, and our leaving alone the reminders from the Quran and the Sunnah. Very, very sensitive. We ask Allah to make us upon those who are firm, among those who are firm. Tayyib. So the Shaykh said, how then do you expect firmness at the time of fitan, when now you are too lazy to even come for salah? How will you be firm when the fitan arrive, and they have arrived, and there's more to come, when even salah at this point you are too lazy to come to the salah? And I've told you before, and you see with your own eyes, when the iqamah is called, see how many people will be sitting at the very last row. They haven't even gotten up yet. And some people, as soon as they come to the masjid, they go to the very back and find the most comfortable place and take a nap. And then the iqamah is called, by the time he makes it here, we're already in the second rak'ah. Lazy stuff. Lazy. These individuals are, the Shaykh said, as soon as the fitan comes, these are the first to fall. These are the first to lose. Because in this salah, they're already lazy. And this, of course, we can elaborate on praying at home instead of coming to the masjid, missing Salatul Fajr 5 days a week, or 4 days a week, or 3 days a week. And we don't come when there's another soap opera on TV. You all know this. These individuals, the Shaykh said, don't expect them to remain firm when the fitan come. Because now they're unable to be firm on the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to consistently do something. And he used to love the deed which one does continuously, even if it seemed to be little for the people, as opposed to a lot of things you do for a short time and then you leave them alone. So continuity is what is expected here. Among the means to remain firm upon the deen of Allah is dua, supplication, invoking Allah, with dhikr, and remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The qualities of the slaves of Allah, the believers, is that they turn to Allah with the dua so that Allah may keep them firm. And they remember Allah Azza wa Jal abundantly. These are two things. The dua and the dhikr of Allah, among the greatest means to keep you firm as a Muslim. Because all of the hearts of the children of Adam are between two fingers of the fingers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He turned them around as He wills. And hear my statement, fingers of Allah. Don't imagine anything. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Don't be among those who deny the Quran and the Sunnah because their minds don't understand. This is not the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We believe Allah has fingers. If you say, how can you say Allah has fingers? Say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said asabi', usbu'ain, and we know what that means in the Arabic language. If he says, but we have fingers, and by you saying Allah has fingers, then you're making Allah like us. And Allah said, laysa kamithlihi shay. You say, you are correct. But let me give you another answer. Are you existing? Do you exist? He will say, surely. Does Allah exist? Surely, okay, according to you, we exist and Allah exists, and Allah cannot exist. Because according to you, we both exist, and that cannot be the case. So the same way you affirm Allah has an existence unlike our existence, Allah has a face unlike our faces, has fingers unlike our fingers, and the rest of the names and attributes which you read in the Quran and the Sunnah. This is the aqidah which everyone here should be upon. You want to take the Hanafi fiqh, or the Maliki fiqh, or the Shafi'i fiqh, barakallah fiqh. This is debatable. Aqidah does not entertain differences. We need to believe the same thing, same exact thing concerning the names and attributes of Allah. Allah hears, we hear. But the hearing of Allah is not like our hearing. And this is how we understand everything. Allah is not like us, so when Allah described Himself with something, we do not give it a figure or a shape, because no one has seen Allah and no one knows the essence of it. But we don't deny the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba, who never interpreted these ayat in any different way. This is deviance. This is deviance. So the hadith says, between two fingers, and no one should use his fingers when he narrates his hadith, because it brings to the people's mind human fingers. The hearts of the slaves are between two fingers of the fingers of Allah. He turns them around as He wills. This is why the Prophet ﷺ used to repeatedly say in his dua, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenika. O Allah, the one who turns the hearts over, keep my heart firm on your religion. And the Shaykh said, if the Prophet ﷺ, he is the one who Allah gave Islam to, and he conveyed it to us, if he is the leader asking Allah to keep him firm about on Islam, then what do you and I say? What do we say? What is left for us? And how often do we make this dua? Allah al-musta'an. Listen to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, how Allah kept him firm at the time of fitna with a woman of beauty and status. He was working for her, living in the same house. When she offered herself to him, what kept him firm? He said, Ma'adha Allah. Qala Ma'adha Allah. He said, Allah's refuge is sought. I seek Allah's refuge. It is my Rabb. Ahsana Mathwai. The scholars have differed whether he was referring to Allah's Azza wa Jal or his master, her husband, who had purchased him initially. You can go back to the Tafsir and Ibn Kathir and otherwise and see the elaboration. Either way, what did he begin with? The remembrance of Allah. Ma'adha Allah. Later on he said, My Lord, قال ربي السجن أحب إلي. Sijn, the prison, is more beloved to me than that which they are inviting me to. And unless you turn away their plot and their planning against me, I will incline towards their call, and I will be among the jahileen, the ignorant. So Yusuf said, Oh Allah, I prefer to go to prison than remain in this fitna where she's offering herself to him over and over again. And he declared his weakness. If you don't turn away from me their invitation, I will incline towards them, and I will be among the ignorant. So Allah Azza wa Jal, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. So Allah responded to his supplication, and he turned away their plot from him. Verily he is the all-hearing, all-knowing. So the Shaykh said, because of the truthfulness in his dua, Allah Azza wa Jal granted him the thabat. He sincerely would prefer prison. Which one of us would prefer prison right now or fitna? He sincerely desired it, Allah gave it to him. And they were not able to, mislead Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, because he's a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, whom Allah made among the noble prophets, Kareem, Ibn Kareem, as you know in the hadith. But the fitna was there. Wallah al-musta'an. So the dua. The Shaykh said, first he said, Ma'adha Allah. Second thing he did what? He made dua. So these are the two things. Seeking, remembering Allah, making dua to keep us firm at the time of fitna. Fourthly, among the greatest means to remain firm upon the deen is the sound Islamic upbringing, to be brought up Islamically, to be raised upon the teachings of Islam, knowledge based, not ignorance. The Shaykh said, so this is a gradual procedure where the Muslim slowly but surely will elevate in knowledge and understanding, and raises his children in this fashion. This goes against haphazard kind of things and just jumping around. He's speaking about being firm and taking it step by step. And this was among the most important means for the Sahaba to remain firm in Mecca, because they were brought up in this particular fashion. Otherwise, how did Bilal radiallahu anhu, who used to be placed on the ground in the hot desert and stones will be put on his chest and they will step on them, and then he will continue to say Ahadun Ahad, this one unique God. How did he remain firm? He was already raised, he was nurtured by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the sabr, which made him reach this point where he remained firm upon the deen and he didn't turn away. Same thing with Khabbab and Mus'ab and Al Yasir. As you all know, these were weak among the Muslims. Even the greatest of the Sahaba, that which kept them firm is that the knowledge which they had took, they which they took from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh said, nowadays someone who, you know, and you have to be careful of the following, that the shaitan will make a person feel, if you're adhering to the deen, that you're going against, you know, the majority. By you sticking to the deen, you feel like you're living in some world and everybody else is living in a whole other world. It's like you don't even meet on the same road. And the Shaykh said that, you know, then he will come and tell you, you need to compromise. You know, slow down, you know. Give up some of this, you know, strict adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah, because you have to please the common people. The Shaykh was warning against this. Don't believe in this. This is from the tricks of the shaitan. And that you remain, and you know, you don't go with the flow. You don't become, as they call them today, modernists. Modern Muslims. Modern Muslims are a huge group now that predominantly live in the West. And they bring in their ideas over here and elsewhere. What is this modern Muslim? The modernists, their approach is anything which is part of Islam that doesn't really please the kuffar, we will modify it. And we will change it around so Islam will become more compatible with the, you know, with the rest of the people. So you will find that they make haram halal and halal haram, and all kinds of changes are made in order to please the kafir. These are the modernists. When you come across these things, don't pay attention to them. Remain firm upon the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the righteous predecessors. Don't go with the flow, because look forward to that which is coming later on. Fifthly, reflect upon the stories of the prophets that Allah mentioned in the Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jal had sent down these ayat and these stories not just for entertainment. They were not for entertainment, not for entertainment. There were lessons in them. And they were means of keeping the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam firm himself. When he sees what Nuh had to go through, and what Musa had to go through, what Ibrahim had to go through, he will find counsel in them sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he remains firm upon the deen. So this was among the benefits of sending down these stories. And this is the same applies for the believers. Read, see what they had to go through. Look at the magicians of Fir'aun. You know how firm these brothers were? Imagine someone is a magician all his life, and in one sitting he becomes a Muslim. In fact, he falls on his face in sujood for Allah. And a few minutes later, Fir'aun is telling them, لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخِلِ, I will crucify you on the palms, on the trunks of the palm trees. قَالُوا اِقْدِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاتُ, do whatever you want. إِنَّمَا تَقْدِ هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, you will only be able to take away from us this worldly life. يعني this was iman with firmness. They didn't say, oh okay, maybe, never mind, you know, the guy is going to get us killed, we'll go back and become Muslims outside. No, they were willing to sacrifice their lives instantly because iman had made it into their hearts. This is a lesson for the believer. Ashabul Kahf, you read it every Jum'ah, but do we read the story, the meaning, the benefits behind the story? What is the story of Ahlul Kahf? Shabab like the ones here. They ran away from their people, and they say they came from a royal family, by the way. According to the tafsir, these were the children of the richest people in the community. They ran away from everyone in order to remain firm upon the deen, and Allah changed the normal occurrence of the universe for them. So they remain in the cave 300 some years, they didn't die. And the sun will skip, yani ajeeb. You read the story of Surah Al-Kahf, this is a lesson for the youngsters today. You have to have the mentality of the Ashabul Kahf. You have to run away from fitan and remain firm. These are the lessons behind the stories. It's not just the story which we read. Then the Shaykh went on to say, sixthly, among the means to remain firm is da'wah. Da'wah ila Allah, invitation, propagation of Islam, calling people to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. First and foremost, this is the occupation of the messengers. This is their job description. They were not engineers, no doctors. With all due respect to all the engineers and doctors, they were du'at. They were callers to Allah. And the best is the one who can do both. Yani can be in a worldly position which enables him to give more da'wah. Inevitably, don't be a loser, try to give da'wah, because you may not be given a platform. The more knowledge you have, if it's going to open the door for da'wah, barakallah feek. But the problem is that the doctor only wants to be a doctor, he doesn't want to be a da'i. And so then there's this issue of deficiency here. So then the Shaykh said, these are the followers of the prophets, they're doing the job of the prophets. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said that among the people are those who are keys to good. They open the locks of goodness and they lock the locks of evil. And among the people are the other way around. They open the locks of evil, close the door of goodness and the locks of goodness. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, then glad tidings to those whom Allah has made keys to opening good, and woe to those whom Allah has made keys to open evil. Allah al-musta'an. The Shaykh said, these are then you have to keep company with these individuals. Look, fetch, search for the scholars, for the ulama, the righteous people, and the du'at, those who invite to Allah. Keep company with this category of people. And we all need to search for them. And you are in a country where their availability is slightly higher than elsewhere. Alhamdulillah, they exist. But we need to make that effort. The Shaykh said, keep company with them. It has been known through Islamic history that Allah Azza wa Jal has kept the Muslims firm upon the deen through individuals. Through individuals. And you all know the Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, and many of the Arabs apostated from Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu fought against them. So Allah protected the deen through Abu Bakr. Then you know the fitna of Khalqul Quran. When this Ash'ari belief surfaced that you must say that the Quran is created. They said, the Quran is not Kalamullah. Not Kalamullah, no. The Quran is the creation of Allah. With the same misunderstanding, if you say Kalamullah, then we speak. If you say Allah speaks, then you are likening Allah to His creation. So they denied the Quran. Even though Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرُوا حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. If one of the mushrikeen seeks your protection, provide him protection so he can hear Kalam Allah, the speech of Allah. They say no. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and we're not calling to the Hanbali madhab, Imam Ahmad remained firm, and he didn't say that statement. He said the Quran is not created, غَيْرُ مخلوق. It is sent down by Allah, it's the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah, and Allah protected the Muslims from a big fitna through Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, who remained firm upon the deen. And you all know Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah with the Tatar. Again, you know, he fought against them with his pen and with his sword. Rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'ah. So then, remaining with these people is means of protection. Because they will narrate to you the ayat of Allah. They will quote to you the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you are confused, it's the people of knowledge who will give you the evidence for you to remain firm. When you're hanging around ignorant people, they will often misguide you and give you the wrong advice. And so Allah Azza wa Jal said, then do not be fooled by the dominance of the people of corruption. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد. Do not be tricked by the spreading and the dominance of those who have disbelieved in the countries, in the lands. That their time shall expire. As the Shaykh said, their time shall expire. Just like you buy a product, there's an expiration date. Their time is temporary, then they will be gone. The Muslims are the ones who will remain until the end of time. The truth is the thing which will remain until the end of time. Then the Shaykh said, seventhly, acquiring the good characteristics and manners with which one can attain firmness, and on top of the list is sabr, patience. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and no one has been given anything which is better and more vast than patience. So the Shaykh said, with patience, without patience, you cannot hold on to the rope of the book of Allah. And you cannot hold on to adhering to the deen strictly. And you cannot hold on to keeping with the righteous people. Without sabr, none of these can be done. So sabr then is a prerequisite and a condition. Eighthly, and that's the last one, if I'm not mistaken, reflect upon the bounty of Jannah, the delight of Jannah, and the punishment of the punishment of the hellfire, and reflect and remember death. Because the one who knows the outcome of his reward, then the action itself becomes easier. If your boss gives you a project to do, and you know if you do this project, nothing special is going to happen to you. Your salary is the same, everything is going to be the same. Versus he tells you, if you do this project, you know, we will promote you to become the mudir and you will double your salary. How would you deal with the same project? Totally different. When you don't expect anything, you become lazy. When you expect a big reward, you will strive. So the Shaykh said, you know, think in this fashion. This thing that you're looking forward to, this deed will become easy when you know that you will be acquiring Jannah. And if you don't remain firm upon the deen, you will miss out on a Jannah as wide as the heavens and the earth. And then verily that the earth, that the soul needs that which uplifts it and elevates it from this worldly mud into this elevated and transcendent life, which is Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ often would promise the Sahaba, you know, who would do this and Jannah is his, and he will get Jannah. And they would all hasten to do the deed. This is the methodology of the Prophet ﷺ. When he walked by Ali Yasir, and Ali Yasir were among the early people to embrace Islam, they were tortured by the kuffar of Quraysh. The Prophet ﷺ, when he seen them being punished, and he had no means, no power to fight back and to defend them, what did he say to them? Sabran ala Yasir, patience O ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah. Your appointment, your destination is Jannah. So this was means of making them comfortable and relaxed. Okay, so let me be punished to death. I'm going to go to Jannah afterwards, alhamdulillah. But live a good life and go to Jahannam, what's the benefit? If someone lived the best life in this world, then he was thrown in Jahannam for 5 minutes. What is the value of all this entertainment? Nothing. And you all know the hadith, that the man who lived the worst life, suffered the most, will be placed, he will be dipped in Jannah once. Then it will be said to him, Ya Abdullah, O slave of Allah, did you ever face any hardship? Did you ever see any difficulty? He will say, La wallah, I never experienced any hardship. Upon being dipped in Jannah once, all of the struggles of the dunya will be gone. And a man will be dipped in Jahannam, a man who lived the most luxurious life, big cars, big homes, he does what he likes, he will be dipped in Jahannam once. And it will be said to him, Ya Abdullah, did you ever experience any entertainment, any pleasure, any satisfaction? He will say, La wallah, by Allah, I never had any good time. All of the pleasure of the dunya will be gone with a dip in the fire. Don't ask about 10 years, 20 years, 500 years, 10 million years. That's what, if we put our mind in respect to this understanding, we will be able to do it. But we don't think this way. We don't think this way. We think now. I want to have fun now. I want to entertain myself now. I want to follow my desires now. But yaqi, there's something coming afterwards which is more important and more lasting. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. If we were to internalize this, everyone here will be upon the sunnah miya miya. But we don't. We hear, we don't act, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, and then eventually we will see what we're speaking about. So I hope inshallah all of us will make the wise decisions, and they will not wait until a time where there's no return. So then the Shaykh said, know that Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is a point which I will, just to be honest with you, and with all due respect to the Shaykh, I love him for the sake of Allah, but the idea of associating, reviewing one's deeds and with this year, with the end of the year, is not from the Sunnah. Yani the Sahaba did not come together and say, okay, Muharram has come and last year has ended, so ya akhwan, let us begin for this new year, a new intention. No, this is not from the Sunnah. And you all know the story of, he told us last week, how Muharram was chosen to be the day on which the year began. We don't have this idea of year by year. Every year you go back. In fact, we learn from the deen that on Laylatul Qadr, this is when everything, the decree of Arzak and so on, is done. So if there's any night which we should do this and we don't because it's not from the sunnah, that would have been Laylatul Qadr. Where we say, okay, this is a new year where Allah will decree our risk and our guidance. So what have I done? Let me repent. But this is not taught by the Prophet ﷺ. So the truth of the matter is, even if you hear this often nowadays, we don't associate any new tawbah, any new, you know, determination, or they call it new year resolution, with Muharram or the end of Muharram. Every day the Muslim has that mentality of, I may die today and this is my last day on earth. We don't associate it with a particular time. طيب, because it's not from the sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it, the Sahaba didn't do it, and we love what they were doing so much that we don't favor anything or anyone, no matter how noble and virtuous this person is, over the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. They understood the deen the most and we follow their footsteps strictly. And that is the way to paradise, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. جزاكم الله خير.